This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton, and on today's show, you're going to get to meet Aaron Strout. Aaron is many things, including the CMO of a company in Austin, Texas called Powered. Isn't that a great name for a company? And Aaron is also a podcaster, a blogger, and a social media maven extraordinaire. Every time I connect with Aaron, I learn so much. He's one of those people that just by his cleverness and his ability to articulate what he does, you learn so much. So I'm really excited to have Aaron on the show, not only for you to get to meet him and for him to download some of his amazing information about social influence marketing, but also because he's going to guest host an upcoming Dishy Mix. I'm not going to spill the beans about who his first guest is going to be, but Aaron, as a podcaster, is going to come online and wow you with an episode of Dishy Mix. So let's get him on the show and welcome him. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you, Susan. You're making me blush.
Well, no one can see you blush in cyberspace, Aaron. So why don't you spill the beans? You're going to be a guest host on Dishy Mix. Who are you going to interview?
So I am going to be interviewing a close friend and someone that I really admire a lot, Eric Ryan, who is the co-founder and chief brand officer at Method. Many of you have heard of Method cleaning products. They've become somewhat ubiquitous. They have the beautifully crafted bottles that of the hand soap or the dish soap or the granite counter cleaning, all that good stuff.
I love Method. One of the things that I like is their foamy soap.
Yes, I am actually a big fan, and we have lots of it at our house.
We do too. Lots of the foamy soap. Well, Aaron, I want to really start off with this conversation, with a conversation about community, because that is one of your many, but your core area of expertise now, because you're at Powered, and Powered makes a platform for companies who want to have their own community experience and have it be highly stylized, merchandised with a lot of unique features. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about was, on a very general level, what's happening with communities as far as corporations, as brands creating communities now? Is it increasing, decrease? Was it a fad that's gone? Are you seeing it take more hold? Where is it right now in the world of all of the things that marketers have to do?
Well, it's a great question, Susan. And the good news is that it is increasing. I've been doing this now I've been in the social realm for about, I don't know, almost 5 years. I started doing this around 2005. But really started working on the community front in 06. And what I can tell you is back then you'd say the word online community and people would just kind of look at you and they had no context. Now, particularly because of the things like Facebook, which isn't exactly an online community, but people know and understand what Facebook is. And if you say we essentially build those types of environments, but for brands, you know, like a Sony or a Kodak, where people can talk to one another, they can engage in content and watch videos and, you know, give things the thumbs up, et cetera. People pretty quickly get that. And so it's not as far along as we'd like it to be, but definitely it's on a lot of people's radar. And I think 2010 is going to be a big year for branded online communities.
You mentioned Sony and Kodak, and I want you to give us the URLs of the community experiences so that we can go look at them. And also, I will link to them on your page on Personal Life Media so anybody can go and find them right from, you know, searching for Aaron Strout and finding your page on my site. But I want to also really focus on HP, some of the work that you're doing now with HP, because I think that's very interesting as well. They're all interesting, but I'd like to talk about HP. But if you can give us the URLs, that'd be great.
Sure. Fortunately, they're relatively easy. And the Kodak site just went live. I think it will have been out a few weeks by the time folks are listening to this podcast.
I just checked it out. It's fantastic.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. So that is exchange.kodak.com, just like, you know, your exchange server or exchanging a gift. The other one for Sony is also easy. It's sony.com/learn, L-E-A-R-N. And so from that URL for Sony, there are actually three communities that sit under that, and you can go and explore all three of them by going to that URL.
And here's what I love about them. Both of those sites are, the company is involved in them, but so much of it is the community, user-generated ideas about how to use the company's products. So in the example of Kodak, the neat thing about it is that it's all kinds of photo crafting, photo creativity ideas that other people have thought of. I love that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we really, I think for anybody that's building community, and it's one of the things that I really was drawn to when I joined Powered about a year ago, was a focus on not only giving, the brand giving, educational lifestyle type content, not product stuff, not press releases, not product pitches, which, you know, some of that is necessary, but helpful information, how to take better photographs, you know, how to set up a home network, how to do scrapbooking, things that people really care about. And that mixed with the consumer-generated content where people are uploading photographs or projects, or in the case of Atkins, one of our other communities, sharing recipes or strategies around the holidays to, you know, get over that sort of desire to have carbs. And we really feel like finding the balance between those two, depending on what the brand is really a lot of the key ingredient to making a community sing.
So tell me what the differentiation is with HP.
So the nice thing about HP is, HP has been around for, the company itself has been around for a long time. We've been working with them for several years. I think they're our longest standing client. And what's most exciting about them is the fact that, because of the fact that they've done this for several years, they created a learning community, and they have a couple of different focuses, but one of them in particular is their small business community, which has over a million people in it, a million members, which anybody that knows anything about non sort of tech support or, you know, passion brand or passion communities, that's an impressive number. And I won't get into all the details, but they literally have seen millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars of return on investment through things like call avoidance, through referrals, through people clicking through to the e-commerce site, people self-reported purchases, which, by the way, have a fairly high dollar average. And, you know, they've stuck with it, and they've stuck with this commitment to great content and letting people interact with it, rating and reviewing it, telling them whether this is the right stuff or it's not the right stuff. And so they've been very smart in their approach, and as a result, they've seen, like I said, literally millions or hundreds of millions of dollars worth of return on investment in their programs.
You know, when I think about communities, I like the concept of the Kodak with consumers generating ideas for other Kodak customers. But you have another brand, and I hope you're willing to talk about it. I'm aware of it, where it's a community that comes together because they support each other through a process. And that's Atkins. And that's a little different scenario. Tell us about that community, if you don't mind.
Sure. And Atkins is actually one of our favorite. Many people have this perception of it's the, what do they call it, like the bacon and, you know, cream diet, where
right.
In the past it was
sounds
very,
good.
Heavy on, very heavy on the proteins, heavy on the fat, light or, you know, non-existent carbs. And so they've subsequently softened their stance a little bit. But we started working with them a few years ago, and about a little over a year ago, completely revamped their community. They realized that a lot of their communities were living in places like Yahoo groups and had sprung up in a variety of places. And that's fine. They weren't trying to kill that momentum. But at the same time, they felt like it was important that they be part of the conversation. And in some ways, they weren't actually doing their customers the greatest service that they could have because they were limited in terms of what they could share on Yahoo groups or some of the other places that they were interacting. So we worked with them to roll out a community. And what's great about it is they have a blogger that is a nutritionist, and she is constantly sharing recommendations, best practices, tips from the brand that are helpful to people, not trying to sell more stuff. As I mentioned earlier in my example, there are people that are helping each other through the holidays when it's hard to avoid that, you know, pound cake or, you know, some of the carbs that you might be inclined to do. They now have an opportunity to share recipes, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I was thinking about Christmas cookies. Yum. That's the best part
exactly.
of the holidays.
Exactly.
My mother is the most amazing cookie baker. Like, she kicks Martha Stewart's booty. And I have spent my entire adult life trying to make cookies as beautiful as my mother. And I'm now 48, and I am just beginning to be able to do that. It's a craft that I can't live without. So I do love those Christmas cookies. So you can't have Atkins when you have Christmas cookies.
No. So they'll teach you how not to eat them. They won't teach you how to make them pretty. But
they won't. They're not going to get any Christmas cookie recipes at the Atkins community.
Or they will, but they won't have anything, you know, no carbohydrates.
Exactly. Be like a pressed nut cookie or something. So I want to also talk about small business, because we've been talking about pretty big brands with pretty big budgets. And it's not true that you're excluded from creating a community if you're a small company. But before I do that, I want to do a little level set on Powered and where you fit in the grand scheme of things. Because I kind of think about Powered as being like the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You are peanut butter and chocolate together, in that you have a platform for brands who want to build a community and don't want to have like a, you know, light version of like a little Ning thing or something, like a, you know, serious brand platform. But you also do a lot of the service, like you'll create the content for them and you'll seed the community for them. And so you have the service and the platform together. Just run and correct me if I didn't say that well. You can level set power, but tell me what all the other companies are in that kind of scatter constellation around Powered.
Sure. So I love the analogy of peanut butter and chocolate, not just because Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are my favorite thing in the whole world.
We're going to make people so hungry.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right, Susan. And we are unique in the sense that we're almost half agency and then half white label platform. So the company I came from before, Mazinga, there are a number of other folks like that, like Jive, Lithium, Small World Labs, et cetera, that provide mainly just the platform. Some of them will provide moderation. Some will even go a little further and provide some services. And then there are some bigger interactive agencies that will do a lot of the strategy around setting up a community, what the look and feel is, and might help you with some of the content. And we really sort of sit squarely in between those two camps. And part of that is because we came up as we were an e-learning company creating great content for consumer brands to teach their customers about their products or the lifestyle that surrounded them. And so, you know, we really do pride ourselves in having the strategy. You touched on all of them, the strategy, the content, the platform, which is more of a marketing platform with social capabilities versus just a, you know, set of social tools. And then finally, the measurement, which is really one place where a lot of people are lacking. And I really pride ourselves in the fact that we do a good job with that.
At one time in TechCrunch, I saw this list of something like 42 companies that had white label social network products, you know, in the category of Ning. Do you think that there's a difference between a social network platform and a community platform?
Well, I could spend a lot of time on that question, and I know that we want to try to keep answers quick. So, yes, I mean, the community, there's a real difference between social network and community, and fundamentally what that is, and I think that will mostly answer the question. A community is a place where people come and they know each other, they know who's sort of hosting the party, and they have ongoing, meaningful interactions, not only with each other, but around the content. A social network, like a Twitter, like, you know, Ning is sort of almost halfway in between, like a Facebook, is more about who you know, and a lot of it is, you know, interacting with one another. And so they're good because they allow you to connect with other people, but they're not as focused on the content and the conversation. They're not as focused on sort of bringing a group of like-minded people together to sort of share experiences, which is more the traditional experience on the community side versus the social network side.
If I came to you and I wanted to create a community for personal life media, just as an example, 50 to 100,000 uniques a month kind of thing, but these people come and they consume content that's pretty personal in nature and, you know, about their personal and professional growth. What would I need to have or put in place? How hard would it be for me to use Powered or even one of your competitors to create a community? Is it daunting or can you get something up and running relatively easily?
So I'll give you two answers to that. It can be daunting, and that's part of the difference, just to, I think, to sort of follow on to your last question, that there are a lot of white label providers out there, and I won't name names, but they will sort of throw up the fact that, look, we've got this great platform and you can spin it up yourself and, you know, read Chris Brogan's blog and you're off to the races. And the problem is Chris Brogan's a smart guy and you may have very smart people within your company, but it would be like me going to you, Susan, and saying, Susan, I want you to come and be the executive chef at this restaurant here in Austin. And I know that, you know how to cook, so you should be able to figure out how to run a restaurant. And you're thinking, whoa, I may know how to cook and I might be able to cook for Tim, but I can't necessarily cook for, you know, 250 people and you know, 50 of them at a time. And so in some ways, some of these companies are a little bit remiss in how they're offering them up. And that can be daunting because as a marketer or a brand, you don't necessarily know where to start. So in your case, you might say, well, I do podcasts, I blog, I use Twitter. But bringing them all together and kind of knowing how to corral people, how to really engage them, how to activate them, that takes work. And then how are you going to measure it all, and how are you going to align that with your overall goals, right? The good thing with you is you have a lot of great educational content, which is where some of the brands we talk to suffer. So in our particular case, and this is a little bit where we are different, is we're very high touch, and we have program managers that will come and sort of walk you through this entire process. So all you really need to do is be able to sort of point to the right places and talk about what your goals are and what your business is, and maybe share a little bit about who your customers are. And then we can take it from there, and obviously we check in with you over time, but we try to make it as painless as possible for you to be able to do that. And then we hold ourselves to some of the success metrics that we've agreed upon with you up front to make sure that it is delivering the results that you want it to, and then we refine along the way.
Before we go to a break, I want to find out if there are any good examples that you could share for small business practices around community.
Sure. So there's a friend of mine here in town, and he works at his name is Kyle Flaherty, and I speak about him regularly on podcasts and webinars and live events. And the reason I do is because Kyle inherently gets, and his boss, Pam O'Neill, inherently get social and community. And what I love about it is they work for a company called Breaking Point Systems. It's a public company, but it's a relatively small company. And they deal in B2B, which is a place where you don't find as much community activity. And what they've really gotten excellent at doing is creating value and blogging and giving away things that have real intrinsic value to their customers, people that run networks and need to keep those networks secure. And they are able to then take that and convert that into measurable things like leads and new customers and awareness. And they do it in a very scientific fashion. They use tools like Woopra and GetClicky and feed those into places like Salesforce.com. And they have a very scientific methodology where they can actually watch, and I'm not telling anything that's a secret, they can watch all of these things happen and track them and farm them out to the sales team. They also have a lot of the folks internally that are Twittering and blogging, so they're engaging their customers. So they don't just do it as a hobby. They don't do it for fun. They do it as a very serious business. And as a result, they haven't had to spend a ton of money on marketing because they're able to derive a lot of the benefit of what they want to do from these relatively free or free tools out there. And really all it takes is their commitment to resourcing them.
I want to check out Breaking Point Systems and Woopra and GetClicky. That sounds really interesting. Thank you. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, I want to talk about your Quick and Dirty podcast, South by Southwest, some of your iPhone photography tips, and your Uber networking skills. We're with Aaron Strout. He's the CMO of Powered. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Sean Daly, host of Green Talk Radio. Green Talk helps you navigate the maze of green and eco products on the market today and make smarter lifestyle choices at home and at work through informative and entertaining interviews with industry authors and experts, as well as executives from innovative companies around the world. Find Green Talk Radio on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. Green Talk Radio, environmental stewardship through smart consumption. Green Talk Radio.
With Aaron Strout. So Aaron, I want some tips and tricks and quick and dirty stuff from you right now. First thing I want to know is you have your own show. It's called Quick and Dirty. And I want you to tell us about it. And then I want you to think back over the last maybe 6 or 7 episodes and give me a couple of like really cool insights or tips or techniques or epiphanies that you might have gotten from your show.
Sure. So it's a show I've been doing now for, I think we're on episode 16, which airs tonight.
Yeah.
This live. it gets recorded. I do it with the wonderful Jennifer Leggio, who's a media fighter on Twitter. She's a ZDNet blogger. And essentially, the show consists of four parts. It's we focus on a social network. Usually, it's a new one every week, and we deconstruct it in about 5 minutes. What is the business model? We have a special guest every week, and we try to get someone that's either exciting and notable, or we'll do someone that is from a brand that has a good case study story to tell. And then we do a featured, you know, Twitterer of the week, someone that people should sort of include in their Twitter stream. And then finally, we do a really fun segment called The Point Counterpoint. So we pick something like, for instance, iPhone versus BlackBerry. I have an iPhone, Jennifer has a BlackBerry, and we battle it out. So it's a 45-minute show, which we may trim down at some point in time, but we have found that most people will sort of slog through it, and they know now that it's got a format when to listen in. I guess there's two things that I've really learned. So one is Jennifer and I sit in Austin. Well, she's in on the West Coast in the Valley, and I'm in Austin, Texas. So it's a little tricky having a partner, especially if you're interviewing people, to stay coordinated and you know, be able to kick each under the table. So we use Skype to back channel, which has been really helpful. The other tip that we found was letting people call in live. We let people talk in the chat room. We talk via Twitter while we're doing all this, but people really seem to like that, and it really sort of creates some excitement and engagement with the show. Last sort of funny moment on this, so we had Laura Fitton, who is the founder of 140. She's Pistachio on Twitter. She was calling in from an airport last week. She couldn't get her SIM card to work, and she was going to find a payphone, found out it was $14 for the first minute to call in from a payphone. Finally connected with us, but we had about 20 minutes of time that we had to scramble and kind of readjust. So I think the last point that I'd throw out there is just being flexible and being willing to roll with the punches, which sometimes can be unnerving. And Susan, you know, you're a pro, so I'm sure you've had tons of experiences like that. But anybody thinking about podcasting, just be, you know, willing to go with the flow, because it doesn't always go exactly the way you want it to, especially with a live show.
I can completely understand that. A live show is a very different thing. You and I are lucky in that we get to edit out any mistakes that we make. So we just sound flawless, Aaron.
We love the editing.
I know. The editing is, it's, you got to have a good makeup man, you got to have a good hair guy, and you got to have a good editor. That's my motto. You don't care about the hair, do you?
Not so much.
Not the makeup either. Oh, by the way, if you want to follow Aaron on Twitter, he's at Aaron Strout. And his blog, you'll find it if you just Google Stroutmeister. He has you actually do Citizen Marketer and the Engaged Consumer, right? You blog two places, don't you?
I do. So the Stroutmeister, which is also the official title of Citizen Marketer 2.1, and it's Stroutmeister.com. A long story, which I won't get into on that. And then the sort of new version of the Engaged Consumer is our Powered blog, and I joint blog with several of my colleagues on that one, and you can find that at powered.com/blog.
Thank you. South by Southwest, that's a big, big event for you. You and I did it together. Last year, we did our Community Powered interview series, which was a lot of fun. If someone's on the fence about going, what do you think is the business justification for attending South by Southwest? What are your goals when you go there, and what might someone else get out of participating?
Well, it's definitely something that you have to plan ahead, but the two sort of quick versions of what you can get out of it is the networking is just unparalleled, and it's mainly because there are sessions during the day like a regular conference, but the parties at night, they are wild, they're fun, but it's a great way to meet a lot of the people that maybe you've connected with on Twitter or Facebook or their blog or whatever. The second piece is that I think if you are thinking about social or you are doing anything socially related, it's the place to go and fully immerse yourself and find out about all the latest trends and sort of what you want to be thinking about, what the right tools are, et cetera, who some of the people are you should be following, because there's a great host of people that speak at these things. But really, so the networking and, you know, sort of immersing yourself in the whole social space.
You've mentioned networking, and you have told me that you consider yourself a mean networker. What makes you such a mean networker?
Well, it's the thing I think I pride about myself the most. And there's really one simple tip, and that's the give before you get. And what I've tried to do, and I've been doing this even before really online social networking happened, going all the way. I think you and I actually met because we were both networkers back in the late 90s in previous lives. And it's because of the fact that I try to always think about, if I'm meeting somebody, how can I help them? How can I sort of earn credit in the bank with them so that if I need something from them down the road, that I could do that? So I'll give you a quick example. Tim Armstrong, whom I think we both know, he's now the CEO and chairman of AOL. He had been at Google. So Tim was on a board with me, this group called Boston Interactive Media Association. And because I knew Tim and always tried to sort of be a good guy, help him navigate Fidelity when I was there, I needed to set up a meeting with Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google, with my boss, Sean Belka, and the president of the retail division of Fidelity. Well, because of the fact that I had put some credit in the bank with Tim, he was able to orchestrate that. And we were able to sit down with Eric Schmidt for 45 minutes. This is, you know, several years ago before he was untouchable. But we were still able to do that. And so that was as a result of sort of what I always look at in my methodology, and that is put money in the bank up front, help people before, you know, you ask for help. And then, you know, don't always expect that someone that you meet, if they're not a brand or an agency or, you know, someone that you can explicitly see what you're going to get out of it, don't just go on that, because you never know where that person's going to end up or how they might help you in the future.
And do you do anything to keep that organized? Or is it just, how do you reach out to people?
So I'd be lying if I said I was probably as good at keeping it organized as you are. I know you are really good at this. I have a few basic networks that I try to nurture and keep fresh. And so I have a pretty robust Outlook contact list. But then it's really between, I'll say, LinkedIn and Twitter. And so a lot of the people that I reach out to, I can actually just access them through a direct message. But if not, then I can, you know, I'm connected to a lot of the business people I want to through LinkedIn. And, you know, then finally, it's the good old-fashioned email or phone number that I have in my, you know, 1,000-person contact database in my Outlook.
So I've been excited about a new company called Batch Blue. Have you heard of them? They're Boston.
You actually had mentioned them to me, and I have a note written down on my desk to check them out. I haven't quite got there, but I am very interested in checking them out.
I have pulled all of my different databases and lists and business cards and everything into my Batch Box. I guess they call it their naming thing is confusing. It's batchblue.com. Their product is called Batchbook, but you have this really cool thing called a Batch Box where you can send an email to your Batch Box account and it sticks. Like if you send me an email and it has all the stuff, you know, like all the things we have to do to get ready for South by Southwest or something, I can just forward that to my Batch Box email address. It sticks it, it attaches it to your file in my account so that if I just need to go look at what's going on with you, I can tag all the people I met at South by Southwest with a tag. I can, you know, it's just a really great way to be organized and do excellent searching that I haven't found that Outlook or Apple Address Book or anything does. And so I have aggregated all of my lists into a single account. And it's great because it's a multi-user account. So I can have my assistant entering things for me. And I can have people that I work with have access to my contact database. And so it's really good. You should totally check it out.
Well, you've sold me on it now. Because
I get nothing for this, by the way.
Well, and that's the best kind of selling.
They know that I love it and I pay for my service, but they gave me a promo code. So if you use Dishy when you sign up, you get an extra month free.
Oh, I love it.
There you go. So, and I get nothing. I just do it. So I want to move on. And you told me you were bragging, Aaron. You're bragging that you were...
brag never.
No, you really aren't. You're a totally humble guy. But you told me you take a pretty darn good photo with your iPhone. So is there like a trick to iPhone photography, or were you just kidding me?
No, I actually do, and I think that part of it is, at the risk of sounding immodest, I do take pretty good pictures in general, and I think a lot of that has to do with an eye for the right composition. But the thing that I like about the iPhone is, one, take lots of photos because you can always delete them, and I think that's one of the things that people sort of don't always think about. But think about, you know, what is that going to look like? And what I always try to look at is composition in terms of, you know, is that cloud, like it's getting some sort of very beautiful light that's coming through it? Or if I look at a wall and I can see that it's got very clean lines and it's got light spots and dark spots. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to try to take faraway pictures. You don't want to take pictures of things that are kind of bland. But the beauty of the iPhone is, one, it's got a pretty darn good 2-megapixel lens on it, which actually isn't a lot for most digital cameras, but it's a lot clearer than you would normally find. And two, the auto adjust, the auto contrast adjust, you can actually game that to work to your advantage, where you might make the sky look darker than it really is when you're taking a picture of the sky and the landscape. The third thing that I've just discovered, and I have to give credit to our CTO, Ron Green, I downloaded an app, it's $2.99, called Best Camera. And what that has allowed me to do is you can turn photos into black and white, which makes them a lot of times more beautiful. You can dial up the saturation. You could add like a sepia tone color to it. You can, you know, overexpose it. And so you'd be surprised at how many photos that if you just play around a little bit with that kind of stuff, you can really create, you can take a photo from good to great.
I love digital photography. I'm a Flickr fanatic. And I also love Ron Green. You're lucky you get to hang out with him. He's one smart, amazing guy. And I noticed that you have a sepia tone avatar, or some place you have taken this funny picture of yourself and you've sepia toned it. And now I know how you did that. But that face you make is a crack up. And here's what I think that face means. You've got your face like all screwed up, and that's your avatar face. And I think the reason it's so compelling is that when I see you looking at me like that in that picture, I think to myself, you're totally focused on me and you haven't quite figured me out yet, but you're sticking with me because you want to. I don't know what that face is, but that's what it says
well,
to
I,
me.
I love that. And it's funny because I've had a lot of people that will say, can you make that face for me?
Yeah, it's kind of like famous now.
I know you for that reason. Well, so this is actually close and personal to you, Susan. That picture was taken at South by Southwest by my longtime friend and your newer friend, Jim Storer.
You know, it's so funny. I was just going to mention Jim Storer. Now that guy can take some great photographs.
Yes, he can. And so that was a day where you and I were podcasting, and I think that I hadn't quite had enough caffeine, and I had probably been out pretty late the night before. So I was giving him one of those looks of like, are you kidding me? You're going to take my picture? But I think that's why a lot of people tend to like it as my avatar. My wife, by the way, hates it. She says, you look old in that picture.
Well, because your brow is wrinkled. Yeah,
exactly.
You got to get some Botox, Aaron.
Well, and I was also kind of tired because I think I was working on about, you know, 6 hours of sleep for the last 3 days at that point.
But, well, you were working on your T-shirts for South by Southwest, your dog food is better than Kool-Aid T-shirts.
Exactly.
And do you have any of those for us?
We do. We have, I think, 4 or 5 that we could give away if you want to give them away to any of the lucky listeners. Dog food is better than Kool-Aid, and we have a content FTW, which means for the win. And that's, as we talked about earlier, that's one of the things that we really see as the secret to success for any good community or social engagement.
Well, if you would like to get one of Aaron's fun T-shirts, all you have to do, if you don't know the drill by now, you have to go to dishymixfan.com, which is my Facebook fan page for the show. Just post your desire, and Aaron and I'll pick 4 or 5 people, and we'll send you some T-shirts. When you post, make sure you tell us your size so that we can, you know, divvy up what he has across a number of you. So if you want a really good dog food is better than Kool-Aid or for the win T-shirt, go for it. DishyMixFan.com. And Aaron, you also, I forgot to mention when we were talking in the beginning about community, you have a new white paper coming out. I'm waiting for it. I need it. And it's called, did you call it From Zero to Community? That's what it's called, right?
That's correct. Yep.
So it's not out yet, but by the time this episode airs, I bet it'll be darn close to it. Tell us about it. And then anybody can have one. You just go to DishyMixFan and post and Aaron will get it to you. Tell us about it.
Sure. So it's part of a series of white papers that we've done. And one of the things that you'll find about any of the content that we do is that we take eating our own dog food per the T-shirt pretty seriously. And we try not to pimp powered too much. We try not to sort of pat ourselves on the back. And we talk about things from an educational perspective. When we do webinars, we do that. When I do podcasts, we do that. So this is one in particular that is the fourth in the series that talks about building community and some of the best practices and things that you should be thinking about, things that we've talked about here today that will help you do it. And I think it's like a 5 or 6 page white paper, so it's not, you know, particularly long. But the quick sort of blurb up at the front says, online branded communities are proliferating all over the web, but building a community takes more than hosting a site. So I think it reinforces that conversation we had before the break, Susan, that it's not just a set of tools, it's a mindset, and there are a lot of things that go with it to make it successful.
Well, put me on the list for that.
I absolutely will.
Absolutely. And then just as a close to the show, Aaron, because you absolutely do eat your own dog food, most of the marketing work that you do for Powered is around social influence media, social influence marketing, social media marketing, social optimization, whatever you want to call it. Would you give us maybe a week in the life of Aaron Strout and tell me what all of the things are that you're doing to generate awareness and leads for Powered?
Sure. So what I'll tell you to start with is that I am a husband and a wife, or a husband and a father of three kids.
Was so that a little Freudian slip? Something
yeah,
you two
exactly.
did a little role reversal on Saturday night or something?
Exactly. But what that tells you is that I do try to keep a balance between work and life. But when I am at work, a lot of times I am traveling and I'm going out and speaking at events. I do my weekly podcast that I do with Jennifer, The Quick and Dirty. I try to do at least two or three blog posts a week. And that's mixed in with an occasional byline for a magazine. And we do monthly webinars. They're thought leadership webinars. One that we did, for instance, that was particularly one of my favorites was with Scott Monty, who's the head of social media at Ford, Christopher Berger, who's the head of social media at GM, and then Sylvia Marino, who's the director of community at Edmunds.com. And why these are so good is that, again, we don't talk about Powered and our products and how good we are. We talk about how social is benefiting people and how social is able to radically transform companies. And so one of the things that, I'd asked Scott before this if he had a juicy tidbit to throw out there. Scott said that they have 38% awareness of Ford Fiesta thanks to this Ford Fiesta movement that they've been doing across YouTube, Twitter, and a number of other social networks. For a car that's not even here yet, and he said that's more than some of their existing models, and Ford's a pretty well-known brand. And so people who come and attend these, you know, whether it's the podcast, read the blogs, attend the webinars, they're able to walk away with some action steps that whether they ever work with Powered or not, whether they ever work with a white label company or an agency, they have some prescriptive things that they can do. And that's what we always try to sort of leave behind, because we feel like if we're adding value to people, just like we tell our clients to do and we help our clients do, then people will come back. They'll be more loyal. They'll talk about you. So you get those things like loyalty, advocacy, greater purchase intent.
Nice. You do a beautiful job generating great content that helps people. And we're looking forward to your white paper. So, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on the show. And we're really looking forward to you being a guest host sometime very soon. We've got to get that scheduled in so we can make that happen before the holidays.
Well, thank you for having me. And this was great. I mean, you know, I could sit and talk with you all day. We got a chance to talk a lot at South by Southwest. And I'm
looking
forward to more of the same.
Me too. We have a lot of fun together. Awesome. You have gotten an opportunity to meet Aaron Strout, CMO of Powered Incorporated, and you'll get to hear him again very soon on Dishy Mix. I hope this was beneficial to you and that you have a great day today. Take care.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.